you cry no more.
Hello and welcome to The Matchup, your number one source for sports gaming and everything in between. I am your host, Jake Patterson, and no, we are not kicking it off with wrestling. I just used that song because I have devised a new nickname for Liberty's quarterback and wide receiver core. And yes, we are leading off with Liberty because my bias is very real. The Flames looked a whole heck of a lot better. Heck, because I'm talking about Liberty, I try not to swear when I'm talking about them. Sometimes it slips out, but I tend to try not to swear when talking about Liberty, just because it feels weird to swear while talking about Liberty. Just does. But they looked a whole heck of a lot better against New Mexico State than they did against Bowling Green. And the game was at 6 o'clock, so if I went to that one instead, I wouldn't have gotten a severe sunburn. They managed to avoid the bad weather that affected most of the East Coast last Saturday. Like, most of the Mid-Atlantic, most of the noon kickoffs had delays. Like, and it rained up here where I am on Saturday night too. And I was just like following this storm through the day, because it was like rain delay for the noon game at Raleigh, rain delay about 10 minutes into the noon game in Blacksburg. Just like following this storm using the rain delays up the Atlantic coast. But yeah, they looked a whole lot better. I'm glad CJ Daniels is back to being CJ Daniels, because he is a beast. Salter has proven to be much better with Jamie Chadwell calling his plays instead of Hugh Freeze. And initially, because I remember tweeting this during the game, initially I said, well, because Malik Willis and his receiving core weirdly didn't have a nickname, but Buckshot Calvert and his receiver core did. And that man got, like, looking back, it is very clear that man got carried by his receiver core. His receivers were all way better than him, so all he had to do was throw it in their general direction and they would do the rest. Antonio Gandy-Golden. And, like, I know Malik had I think a year with AGG, but like he was mostly a Buckshot receiver. But yeah, they were known as Bullet Club. So I decided, oh well, if all of them were Bullet Club, Salter and Daniels are the Young Bucks. And then the other receivers started having a really good game. It's like, nope, they're all the Elite. And hence the theme music at the top of the show. But yeah, they have now been christened the Elite. So Liberty fans listening to this podcast going forward, that is what I know you all saw. Did Liberty Win tweet it? I know you all saw him retweet me. And LU Fan Portal, I know you saw both of them retweet me. So it is official, as spoken by Liberty Twitter, that Caden Salter, CJ Daniels, and the other wide receivers. I feel bad because I am blanking on their names. Player stats. Sibley, Bedgood, Frith, Smoot, like all of these receivers are now officially known as the Elite. So there you go. There's that. And now I have a Liberty-related rant to go on, because is on three part of ESPN? I don't know if they are, because I screamed at ESPN in the rundown, but I don't actually know. No, on three is its own thing. Okay, that makes much more sense. Oh, it's Andy Staples. That's why. Andy Staples is a moron. But yeah, Andy Staples posted this list of potential Michigan State's replacement for the fired and rightfully so disgraced Mel Tucker. We're not going to get into that because I tend to not touch stuff like that on this show. And with good reason. Mel Tucker's a piece of shit. I'm glad Michigan State fired him. There's my take. I don't need to go into any more detail. I'll let more professional people than the nerd who likes to scream about sports into a microphone in a spare bedroom take care of analyzing everything that happened at Michigan State. But the names on this list, some of these make sense. Michigan offensive coordinator Sharon Moore. Ohio State offensive coordinator Brian Hartline. Florida State offensive coordinator Alex Atkins. See, they are all offensive coordinators. Here's where I start to take issue. Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson. Like, yes, moving from Wake Forest to Michigan State is an upgrade in terms of, you know, program prestige, budget, student population, a whole lot of things. But I think listing current head coaches who are good at quote unquote smaller schools is fucked. Like it's fucked up. Yeah, I know. Talking about Liberty stuff, I'm swearing. I don't really care because I'm mad about this. I mean, obviously I don't have as much of an emotional attachment to Dave Clawson and Willie Fritz, who are both very good coaches. Like Tulane almost beat Ole Miss. If their quarterback wasn't injured, they had a very real chance to win that game this weekend. Cause Ole Miss only pulled away at the end and pulled off one of the most disgusting backdoor covers I have ever seen. So putting Willie Fritz on this list is fucked too. I'm just not a Tulane fan, so I'm not as mad about the fact that Jamie Chadwell's name is on here. Andy, do your damn research. Chadwell took that job in November. It hasn't even been a year. He's been at Liberty for 10 months. Do your fucking research, man. Like, what was the official hire date? Because it was like right after Freeze left. Because it was before the bowl game. Like, he was on the sideline. When did he get hired as the Liberty football? On December 4th, 2022. Really? Only the 10th? Damn. I mean, I know it's been... I know Liberty's only been around for, 52 years? But only the 10th. That's honestly kind of impressive. Yeah, 10th coach. So December 4th, 2022. It has been just over 9 months. I hate to get graphic here, but if any child conceived on that day might not be born yet. That's how short of a time Jamie Chadwell has been at Liberty. Like, there could have been women who were pregnant on that date who have not given birth yet. That's how short of a time it's been. Been just over 9 months. And again, do your fucking research, because the man has also said he told his wife that Liberty is the last stop until their kids are grown up. They have three of them. And I don't know their exact ages, but I've seen, like, they were at his introductory press conference. I have a vague idea of what his kids look like. I think the oldest one is still in middle school. So, yeah, it's going to be a while. And then the other two are younger than him. So, yeah, like, their son is the oldest, and he is still in middle school. And if he keeps to his word that he's not going to make them move again until, like, they're out of the house, which again, this man is 46 years old. Like, by the time his youngest is out of the house, he's gonna be pushing 70. Like, just doing the math here. Like, he's gonna be like pushing retirement years if he's waiting to move until his kids are grown. Now, obviously, something could go horribly wrong and Liberty could fire him before that happens, but I highly doubt that. I think I said it when he got hired. I think we have found our guy for the foreseeable future of Liberty football. So I'm sorry to ESPN for blaming you in the rundown. This is all on Three's fault. And I should have known, because they kind of suck. Like, they're not exactly reliable. Like, don't get your college football news from on Three, people. They're terrible. But yeah. Just do your research. Stop naming coaches that have only been at a school for 9 months about taking over other jobs. Like, just putting that out there. Don't do that. That's how it works. Also, shout out to Liberty's defense for being number one in the nation in turnovers. I was literally just scrolling through Twitter and I saw that again. But yeah, shout out to Liberty's defense for being number one in the entire country in turnovers. That's pretty freaking cool. So that was 12 minutes about Liberty. So my bias has once again been confirmed for another episode. But let's talk about some of the more like national stuff that happened this weekend. Obviously, the big game, Texas and Bama, which is very quickly becoming a pretty prominent rivalry. Now that Texas is moving to the SEC next year, and the last 2 years this game has happened, it has been really good. And both teams have traded road wins. I think this is going to be a fun one for a few years to come. And this was the argument on Twitter on Saturday night after the game. Can we actually say it? Because it has become such a meme since, what was it, the Sugar Bowl? I think it was the Sugar Bowl. Texas is back meme. Where did this, yeah, like the Texas is back meme. It's just so glorious, but I think it's I don't think we can say that anymore. Like, I don't think we can say Texas is back as a joke anymore. I just said it. I was questioning whether or not we could say it, but like, I feel like it is now firmly safe to say that Texas is back. How far did they jump in the polls? They jumped to number 4. They got 2 number 1 votes. Like, they got the same number of first place votes as Michigan did. Which is weird. The Florida State had 3. And, like, they had more first place votes, but it wasn't enough to leapfrog Michigan. I love it when the math works like that. Like, Florida State actually has more first place votes than Michigan, but they're still third. Like, right now, Georgia and Michigan are clearly the two best teams in the country. They're just kind of chugging along, doing their thing, kicking. And Florida State is, too. They beat the crap out of Southern Miss. Which is very funny, because I fucking hate Southern Miss after after last year that I was mostly mad at Liberty for that game. But yeah, Southern Miss in their insanely ugly jerseys and their god awful white balance on their cameras really pissed me off. Like, I'm still mad about it over a year later. So good for Florida State for beating up on those losers. But obviously, like, they're clearly the three best teams in the country right now. Just kind of not doing anything of note. Like, Georgia played Ball State this weekend. They won by 42, and I'm pretty sure they still covered. They still covered the spread. That game closed at 41.5. Georgia minus 41.5. They still covered the spread. They won by 42. Didn't hit the over. They came real close. The total was 51.5. One more touchdown and they would have by either team, and they one more touchdown by Georgia, and they would have hit that too. They would have covered the spread a little more comfortably, but God, that's insane. The fact that the closing line was 41.5 and Georgia won by 42. Good Lord. How the hell did they covered a 41.5 point spread? Did Penn State cover against Delaware? Yes, they did. Penn State was an even bigger favorite over Delaware. They were favored by 43.5. They won by 56. I jokingly said it would be a miracle if the Iowa State game gets to 25 total. The total was 33. Or I think I said it would be a miracle if the Iowa State game got to 20 total and Iowa scored 20 on their own. I don't know why 2013 feels like such an offensive explosion between those two teams, but it kind of did. Tennessee struggled a little bit against Austin Peay, and they have Florida this week, so that should be fun. If they play like that against Florida, they're screwed. But yeah, I think it as much as we have said both of these things so many times over the last decade, that Alabama's dynasty is done, and then they bounce right back. Or Texas is back, and after they win, after they start the season 3-0, then they finish the season 5-7. I don't think this Texas team is finishing 5-7. And I don't really think this Bama team is bouncing back in a meaningful enough way to make the playoff. Because they're already 1-1. Their remaining schedule is pillow soft. Like, their remaining schedule is relatively soft. Like, they got South Florida this weekend. It's on the road. If South Florida wins, Saban needs to retire at his post-game press conference. Like, if South Florida wins that game against Bama, Saban needs to hang it up at his post-game press conference because he is officially done. Home against Ole Miss, that's basically a nothing game because, Lane Kiffin's basically Nick Saban's adopted adult son. Like, remember last year before that game when Lane Kiffin's dog, who has a Twitter account, obviously run by Lane himself, they called Nick Saban grandpa or some variant of a term for grandfather? They go to A&M. That's not much of a threat. Home against Arkansas, home against Tennessee, that helps. But I could see Tennessee winning that. Home against LSU, I could see them maybe winning that, but the thing is, I don't think they're going to win the West. Like, if you were to look at the SEC West, I think is, God, right now, LSU is also 1-1. Who did they lose to? Who the heck did LSU lose to? I know they lost week one, but oh, that's right. They lost to Florida State. Okay, that means nothing. Like, getting blown out by Florida State doesn't mean at a neutral site doesn't mean a damn thing in terms of your resume. Rest of their schedule. Let's see that. Oh, also equally pillow soft compared, like, much like Bama's. Like, they have two cupcake games left on their schedule. They have a home game against West Point in October. And a home game against Georgia State the week before Thanksgiving. Which, every SEC team does that, but it's still... I still hate that. I still hate that entire concept. But yeah, I think... I don't think Bama's going to win the West. I think LSU will. Because I think LSU is better than Bama. And it's going to come down to that head-to-head, and I think LSU is going to win. And even then, like, neither of them are beating Georgia in the SEC championship game. Because we all know that's where the SEC is headed, is crowning Georgia champion again. They have the easiest schedule they have the easiest schedule I've ever seen a defending national champion. Like, talked about it on the show before. They have an stupidly easy schedule. Their hardest game is a road game at Tennessee at the end of the season. They're the only ones who ignored the SEC tradition of playing a cupcake the week before you play your rival. When you're Georgia and your rivalry week game is Georgia Tech, even though it's a road game, like, you're going to win that. Georgia Tech's not good. So, like, you're actually challenging yourself the week before you play your rival, because the rival game is going to be such a freaking cupcake that you don't really have to worry at all. Yeah, nothing like amazing jumping out at me on the schedule this week. Like, LSU's playing Mississippi State, Florida State's playing Boston College. That is a conference game. They are favored by nearly four touchdowns. Well, 26 and a half. That's four scores. Because that's, No, that's four scores. Because 27 still takes four touchdowns. Or, you know, three touchdowns and two field goals to actually get to 27. Northwestern and Duke, Oklahoma and Tulsa, Bama, South Florida. These lines are a disgrace. Ohio State's a 29-point favorite against Western Kentucky. Ole Miss is an 18.5 over Georgia Tech. Michigan's a 40.5 against Bowling Green. Texas 29.5 over Wyoming. Oregon 38 over Hawaii. These lines are a joke. There are not a lot of good games this weekend. My God. And like, even my bias, like Liberty Buffalo, I fully expect Liberty to rock Buffalo up and down their field. Like, I don't expect much out of the Bulls, like, at all. I think it's going to be very painful for them. That's just my take. I know I'm incredibly biased, but Liberty Twitter is already screaming flames by 90, so Let's go with that. I don't think they're actually going to win by 90, but they're favored by 3.5. They're absolutely going to cover that. So if you want free money this weekend, go hammer Liberty minus 3.5, because when Liberty are road favorites, they usually when Liberty are road favorites, they're usually a lot better than the other team. And with a coach who actually cares and, according to his own words, is seemingly here for the long haul. Because, again, not leaving until their kids are grown. And the youngest one is probably like in the fourth or the fifth grade. So he's here for the long haul. If you believe what he said to his wife, and I do. Like, unless Bama comes calling, which I highly doubt. Like, if Bama came calling and he left, I would not begrudge him that. I know that sounds incredibly hypocritical, but it was the way Hugh Freeze left. It was the fact that he was completely checked out for the last month of the season because he had already taken the Auburn job. Like, that rubs me the wrong way. And Liberty lost some games they absolutely should not have lost. And I'm glad he's gone. And I hate that Auburn's 2-0, but they also haven't played anybody yet. So hopefully when they do play somebody, they get their shit rocked. But yeah, that was an insane tangent of college football. But main takeaway from last weekend, Liberty's really good. Texas is back. Bama is in some trouble. Colorado's really good. And there's not a whole lot. There's not anything anywhere near the caliber of Texas Bama on the slate for this weekend. Like, there are conference games on the schedule, and none of them are even close to that interesting. Like, Miami's playing Bethune-Cookman. This is one of the biggest spreads I've ever seen. They're favored by 53.5. So, yeah, not a whole lot going on this weekend. I'm glad I picked this weekend to play D&D, because I'm not going to miss a whole lot when it comes to football. But, that's it for college football. Up next, switch gears to Sundays and Mondays, and we're going to talk some NFL. It's coming up next here on The Mashup. Hey, do you really like The Mashup and want to help support it even more?
Of course I do. You're so awesome.
Well, do I have good news for you. I now have a Barstool Sports Store affiliate link.
Oh, what the heck is that?
An affiliate link is a link that takes you directly to the Barstool store, but has some extra coding in it to let them know that I sent you, so I get some of the money from the sale in return.
That's so cool!
Yes, it is, and it helps me put out better and better content for you. And maybe does enough to get Barstool's attention that they'll give me a job. All you have to do is go to barstool-sports.pxf.io/themashup. That's barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup and get some merch. Doesn't matter what you get, you'll be supporting me and The Mashup. And you get a cool t-shirt, hoodie, flag, or whatever else you want in return. So go to barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup today and help me grow this podcast even more. Time for the NFL. Not a whole lot of gaming stuff this week because COD League hasn't started yet. Actually, not a whole lot of gaming stuff. There's nothing. Because Worlds is still a few weeks away. COD League hasn't started yet. We don't even know when it's starting. There's one more HCS event, which is still another month out. And those are like the main three games I ever choose to talk about on this show. So, not going to be a whole lot of gaming stuff for a while until like we know the pools for Halo World, but I'm not going to get into that until like it's relevant, like the week of the tournament, which is when, like, exactly a month, right? Pretty sure it's exactly a month because it's 13th through the 15th, which is exactly, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, exactly 4 weeks from the day this episode drops. So yeah, there's not a whole lot of gaming stuff to talk about. So straight into the NFL we go. And thankfully around that time, like, college basketball is going to get going and the NHL, like, they're going to start to ramp up. So I'll have that to talk about. So, yay. And then CDL will start not long after that, and it'll like be World's Time, which is going to be a nightmare on my sleep schedule, because I am going to try to watch at least some of those games. And they're all in Korea. But anyway, NFL. Stay focused. All right. NFL. Week one made not a lick of fucking sense. Like, week one made no sense. Like, the Thursday game set the tone. Patrick Mahomes clearly forgot he's supposed to be good at football. And then so did every other prominent quarterback in the league, except for Justin Herbert. And even then, the Chargers still lost. And I think Tua had a good game. Did Tua have a good game? Let's see. Stats. Tua did have a good game, mostly because, and that's partially because the Chargers defense, once again, royally fucked up. Because it seems like that's what they do. Like, their last game, their last meaningful game, playoff game against the Jags, they royally fucked up. First game against the Dolphins, this time at home, they royally fucked up. Again. Like, I don't know how a defense... Well, the Ravens did this all the time last year, so I'm very keenly aware of how a defense could do something like that, because I watched the Ravens do it consistently last year, and it nearly gave me a freaking heart attack. But yeah, none of this weekend made any sense. Cowboys beat the shit out of the Giants. The Eagles barely beat the Patriots. Like, Jalen Hurts had a terrible game. Lamar Jackson did not have a good game by his standards. Like, he was very much shaking the rust off. Like, he got sacked 4 times. And of course, the injury bug bit the Ravens once again. God, I'm sick of this shit. Like, and it's the same people. It was Ronnie Stanley and J.K. Dobbins again. Like, fuck. Thank God the Ravens actually have good receivers now. And Mark Andrews should be coming back. And thank God for Gus Edwards, because he is still a pretty good running back. He's not as good as J.K. Dobbins, but his game's very different. Like, Dobbins is a speed back, Edwards is a power back. But yeah, the Ravens got the win. A surprisingly comfortable win, given how bad the rest of the game was for them. Like, Justice Hill scored 2 touchdowns. Tucker iced the game at the end. Like, none of the receivers contributed to the scoring. Like, I think they had okay games. Let's see. Let's look at the stat line for this game. There's rushing. Oh, Flowers had 78 yards receiving. Okay. OBJ had 37. Bateman had 35. Dobbins had 15. Likely had 4. Okay. A nice balanced passing attack. And Zay Flowers seems to be developing into the thing Ravens fans wanted him to be, like a true number one receiving target for Lamar Jackson. Thank God. Like, this man has never had a true number one receiver his entire career in Baltimore. And now he's got Zay Flowers. Thank God for Zay Flowers. And it was a beautiful thing, because the Ravens won by 22, and the Steelers and the Bengals both got absolutely embarrassed. Weirdly similar score differentials. Ravens didn't win by 22, they won by 16. But, like, weirdly similar scorelines of defeat between the Bengals and the Steelers. Like, the Bengals lost by 21 and the Steelers lost by 23. I think that's funny. And the fact that they both lost and combined, they scored 10 points between the two of them. And the team that got the touchdown was the Steelers. Oh, man. As soon as I said that out loud, it made it even funnier. That means, wait, who was responsible for their touchdown? Okay, it was a passing touchdown. That means, as far as in terms of passing and scoring, that means Kenny Pickett was better than Joe Burrow this week. Oh my God, that's beautiful. Remember before the season, I said I wished for nothing but misery on the Karen Cats and their entire obnoxious fan base? It seems like, at least in week one, my wish has been granted. Let's hope that continues in week two, and the hammer of karma is black and purple and is wielded by Lamar Jackson. Because that is what the Karen Cats and their asshole fan base well and truly deserve. Like, the only black and orange team that deserves to be good right now in the Baltimore sphere is the Orioles. Like, they're, you know what? Yeah, this makes no sense whatsoever, but the Ravens are going to steal all your black and orange energy and give it to their brother, the Orioles. Because now the two teams don't hate each other like they did about 10 years ago, which was really annoying. And maybe Steve Bisciotti will buy the Orioles and save us from the Angelos family. I truly think that'll happen when Peter Angelos dies. I think John will sell the team and Steve Bisciotti will buy. Like, that is, I know this is an NFL segment, but that is my prediction. So, Orioles fans, we just have to wait for Peter Angelos to die. As dark and as fucked up as that sounds. Like, that's genuinely fucked up. That is a horrible thing to say. But, like, I don't think John's keeping the team after his dad dies. I truly don't. So, we have to hope, whenever that happens, that Steve Bisciotti swoops in and saves us from the Angelos family forever. And John can fuck off back to Nashville. And all the conspiracy theorists in Baltimore media, all the people no one actually cares about in Baltimore media can finally lose what little leg they have left to stand on about the conspiracy theory of the Orioles moving to Nashville, because John Angelos won't own them anymore. They will be owned by Steve Bisciotti and his other rich friends. Hopefully Cal Ripken Jr. is one of them. And his brother can pitch in too. But, like, the Ripken brothers and Kevin Plank and just any other rich Baltimore person I can think of. Carmelo Anthony, throw him in there. Have him be an investor. Can you imagine how hype that would be? Carmelo Anthony coming out in an Orioles game to throw out the first pitch? Like, obviously, Cal would be number one. Like, oh, Cal Ripken Jr. just bought the team in the offseason and he's throwing out the first pitch on opening day. Could you imagine the insanity? And, like, you do, like, a torch passing thing where he throws the first pitch to Adley Rutschman. Like, I know he passed the torch technically belonged to Adam Jones for a good, like, 10, 11 years, but the Orioles weren't good for most of that time through no fault of Adam Jones. He was still a multi-time All-Star during that stretch. And again, this segment is supposed to be about football, but I'm going on a baseball tangent here. Because I want to, and it's my show. But yeah, none of the NFL made sense this weekend other than the Packers once again beating the Bears. Like, Aaron Rodgers wasn't the quarterback. Packers still kick the crap out of the Bears in Chicago. Like, some things never change. Oh yeah, and the big thing that sealed my belief that someone or something just cursed all of the good quarterbacks this weekend. Was the Bills and the Jets on Monday night. Like, Josh Allen had a terrible game. Josh Allen had an awful game. Threw three interceptions, got sacked five times. I know those sacks aren't entirely on him. But three interceptions? Three? Weren't they all by the same guy, too? No, they weren't all by the same guy. Oh, no. No, no, Whitehead had three. Jordan Whitehead had three interceptions. Which is absolutely bonkers. I thought I remember the commentary saying something about a guy having three picks, and yeah, it was Jordan Whitehead. But Josh Allen had a terrible game. And props to the Jets. Aaron Rodgers got injured on the fourth play of the game. Like, his fourth snap as a member of the New York Jets, he exploded his Achilles. And for the love of God, whoever owns MetLife Stadium, let's look that up. Because I said this over the weekend. And I literally forgot who actually owns this stadium, or is it just owned by the state of New Jersey? Owned by MetLife Stadium Company, LLC. So it's okay. So yeah, it's essentially just owned by the two teams as a joint venture. So there's even less of an excuse to play on turf that's so shitty and constantly injures people. Like, they need to replace that turf. It has stolen so many Achilles and ACLs and MCLs. The thing has caused so many knee and foot and just, like, general foot injuries. You need to replace that god-awful turf. Like, the NFL needs to force them to. I know Roger Goodell is just a frickin' patsy and he has no actual power, but he needs to grow some balls and force them to replace that turf. Because it sucks. Ugh. I'm glad the Ravens don't play there this year. They did last year and it was awful. Actually, do they play there this year? I don't know if they do. Because I think they might play the Jets. They do not. Let's see, what are their road games this year? Obviously Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, but Titans, Chargers, Jags, Niners. Okay, those are their road games. That's not terrible. That's not too bad. I don't completely hate that. But yeah, that's what I got for the NFL. And before we wrap things up, I'm going to go back to my roots a little bit and talk about a nerdy TV show that has nothing to do with video games, which is kind of what I promised myself I would stick to on this show. But since there's not a lot to talk about, and I want to rant about this on a public platform other than my Twitter somewhere, this is where it ends up. And talking about TV shows and just other general nerd shit is very much in the wheelhouse of this show. That was a thing that was part of its original conception back on the light when I definitely could not have called it nerd shit for multiple reasons, both the FCC and the Liberty Way. More importantly, the FCC, because actually I would have gotten fined for both of them. So. But also saying shit on the air of a just standard over the air radio station would have would have done some damage to my career before it even started. So, glad I can do that now when it's just my own platform that goes up on Spotify. And I can kind of say whatever I want as long as, like, within reason, obviously. Like, haha, can't get me here, FCC. Anyway, nerd shit. So, for people who don't know and either aren't Star Wars fans or Star Wars fans who have been living under a freaking rock for the past month, Ahsoka has been playing on Disney Plus, and it's really freaking good. Like, oh my god, it's really freaking good. And I was already happy with this show. I was like, hey, this is really cool. It's basically Rebels Season 5. Which, yeah, that was the first four episodes. It felt like Rebels Season 5. Like, when Rebels was at its best, and you didn't get those random filler episodes, like Chopper looking for a replacement leg for half an hour, not long after Twilight of the Apprentice, which was basically a short Star Wars movie. Ugh, still mad about that. But, like, also, if you haven't watched Twilight of the Apprentice and you haven't watched any of Rebels, like, you don't need a whole lot of context. Just go watch Twilight of the Apprentice. It's so freaking good. Like, oh my god, go watch Twilight of the Apprentice as soon as possible. But this was even better. Like, holy shit, what an episode. Oh my god. Like, just the everything. The shots that show Anakin, like, turning into Vader. Live action Ahsoka looking like a child, which she absolutely was. Fighting a literal war. All the poor clones who got screwed over, because, like, Order 66 make the clones look bad, but they literally could not control themselves. Inhibitor chip and all that. But so much. Like, seeing the Clone Wars in live action, seeing the Siege of Mandalore in live action, seeing Ahsoka fighting with, like, kind of Force Ghost Anakin? I assume it was a Force Ghost, because he still, like, could tap into his dark side half and, like, bring Darth Vader out and then repress it, so I'm assuming that was, like, Force Ghost Anakin? Didn't know Force Ghosts were able to do that, but then again, he's Anakin Skywalker. He can kind of do whatever the hell he wants. And, like, Ahsoka's eyes going dark side for a split second. If you missed that, go watch it again. It was super quick, but Filoni made it very noticeable, I thought. Jason Syndulla. Yeah, his last name's Syndulla. Jason's Jedi abilities starting to wake up more and more. Which, my theory, I think Sabine will do something that constitutes passing the trials and will be knighted as a Jedi Knight and then take on Jason as her Padawan. Just continuing this lineage of very, very non-traditional Jedi. Like, Count Dooku, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Anakin, Ahsoka, Sabine, and then Jason Syndulla. That is a chaotic lineage. And, like, you go back before that to freaking Yoda. Like, that is a chaotic lineage. But, props to Dave Filoni. That episode was incredible. Like, that was absolutely his masterpiece. And I can't wait to see where the rest of this series goes from here. But that's what I got for this episode of The Mashup. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your week. And talk to you guys next week. See you later.